The Gospel according to the writer named Mark. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except their staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Just wear your sandals and do not put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, shake the dust that is on your feet, shake it off as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. The Gospel of Jesus. Well, kind of hard to shake the dust off from yesterday. But the message here is simple. Do it and do it again. Proclaim and proclaim again. Regardless of what is said, don't argue. Be there. Tell your story. And if they don't listen, move on. It's a story of moving on, of having the faith to keep on going. When I first read the gospel a couple of weeks ago, given a short time between services, it was that message of give your message, and if it's not heard, okay, move on. But sometimes the message is to us, our inner voice, God speaking, the world speaking. We don't want to hear sometimes that message. Hear it. Do not refuse the message of love, the message of God's presence, the message that God loves every person, no matter what their politics, what their learned leanings, what their education is, what their migration path was. My goodness, we are full of differences everywhere. But we are a people bound together by a national sense of pride, of care. We hope and pray. Thich Nhat Hanh, teacher Thay, wrote at the preface of the book that Debbie read from, teaching is not done by talking alone. It is done by how you live your life. My teaching is my life. My life is my message, he wrote. And for us, it has been a message of life and will endure and endure and endure. But then Amanda wrote, spoke. I hesitated and finally did not use the full video of her speech. Instead, getting that divine reading from Janie this morning. Thank you. So while we want to ask, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? And we saw it yesterday, frankly. Now we assert, how on earth could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? The book that I am using today by Thich Nhat Hanh has a story of carrying on. It's a story of the village of Trai Lac. We were going to read the whole story of the village this morning, but time and energy pass. This was a village near, just below the DMZ, the demilitarized zone that separated the aggressive north from the Buddhist south. Trai Lac was a village that had been damaged in the wars with the French from the years before as they sought liberation. Gee, can't we have our own country? Well, the French said no, and then we said no. But anyhow, the village, Thich Nhat Hanh was an organizer of a group of young people. Sort of like a small CCC, for those of you who think back to that. And they took on a project of rebuilding that village. Made it really a good place to live. And then we bombed it. So they rebuilt it again. And we bombed it again. A third time, the kids had to be talked to. But in the end, they said, okay, we'll go there again. We'll rebuild. And they did. After the fourth time, the third one being bombed again, they said, when will this end? As we were saying here in this country, when will this, largely in my mind, illegal, immoral, corrupt war end? And Tay couldn't say. He said, I have to confess to you that I did not have a lot of hope at this time. But if I'd had no hope, it would have been devastating for these young people. I had to practice deeply and nourish the little hope I had inside so that I could be a refuge for them. In difficult situations like this, we have to go home to ourselves and restore ourselves to reestablish our solidity, freedom, peace, and calm so we can go on and on. And they built it a fourth time. But he said then, this is why it's so important to have a spiritual dimension to our life. In talking to them, he said, dear friends, the Buddha said that everything is impermanent. The war, what we see today in front of us, has to end at some time. The question is, what can we do to speed up the impermanence? That was his message to these young people. Yeah, it's impermanent. It will go on. But we can speed up the change. Richard Rohr wrote this week, when our prime motive in seeking a way forward is love, we find courage and confidence, not in the likelihood of a good outcome, but in our commitment to love. Love will provide a way forward in our predicament, one step into the unknown at a time. The prophetic life is lived in this love. It is the core of our nonviolent actions for social justice, freedom, equity, and our precious republic that we call a democracy. This love is how the Spirit motivates us to do what we can to accelerate the impermanence and the injustice and the hatred and the anger that is around us. So, let us embrace ourselves, our community, and our nation in the love that is God. And I embrace every one of you that are watching in on Zoom, whom I tend to forget you are there. You are in our embrace as well. The path forward will be revealed. May it be so.